Welcome to Series 2 of the Social Care Podcast, Sharing Stories, with me, Audrey Moore, and David Bagnall, aka Baggy.
This podcast is for the benefit of anyone working in or studying social care. We like to chat with interesting people in the social care world and hear their stories.
Anyone who knows us will know that Baggy and I are very different in many ways. However, we share a number of common values, including respect and compassion for all, a love of working in social care, and a strong desire to elevate the profile of social care work, to have it recognised as the profession that it is. And we hope that this comes through in this series. So the first four episodes of this series were recorded live at the Social Care Ireland conference. Now, clearly they've been edited and we had too many interviews to put into one episode. So we decided to group them into four different episodes. So the first episode will be interviews with delegates or guests. Our second episode will be interviews with exhibitors and one of the keynote speakers. Our third episode will be all about the mentoring program. And our last episode will be interviews with award winners from the conference. And also we'll have a reflection on our own journey and our own experience at the conference during that episode. The rest of series two will be just like season one. We'll be interviewing lots of interesting guests. We've already interviewed a number of people and we have more lined up. So we're really looking forward to getting feedback from people on those. So we'll jump straight in to Series 2, Episode 1, where we're interviewing four different people from the Social Care Ireland Conference. First up, we have Emily McElarney, followed by three students from Grange Gorman. Then we'll have Noel Howard, as well as Dave Journey, chairperson of the Social Care Ireland Conference. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Baggy and I are delighted to be collaborating with Social Care Ireland to bring you this podcast, recorded at Social Care Ireland Conference 2023. However, Social Care Ireland do not endorse any products or services mentioned, and the opinions expressed are individuals' own and not representative of Social Care Ireland.
Well, next I'd like to welcome Emily McElarney, and who's going to talk to us about her time in social care, and she's one of the interesting people that we've met here at Social Care Ireland Conference. So welcome along to you.
Thank you very much.
Would you like to start by giving us a bit of information about yourself in social care?
Yeah, so I returned to education in 2019 with a notion to become a social care worker. It's an interesting journey how I got to that point. But I think one of the big drivers for me was that I hadn't had an opportunity to go to college. And that was something that I felt was kind of missing from what I wanted to achieve. So I really wanted to do that. And I wanted to get into social care in particular, because I had worked for 10 years for myself with families, teaching yoga. I teach pregnancy yoga, mama baby yoga, kids yoga, infant massage. I'm a doula. I'm a breastfeeding supporter, a peer supporter, and I teach antenatal classes as well. So I had been doing that for myself for a long time and really enjoyed it and really focused on building up a community amongst in the classes that I held. I always used yoga and massage and those things just as a driver to build a community. Okay. So they'd come for the yoga, but they'll stay for the friends they made. And that was always a big focus of my work. But I was very conscious that the people I was reaching were the people that could afford to pay for these things. And that never sat well with me. It just didn't work. It didn't sit with my values. And it's interesting because we were talking about values earlier today, and that was something that really didn't sit with my values. And another big reason I went into social care was I worked as a doula. So for people who are not familiar with what a doula does, it's an alternative birthing partner. Basically somebody who you get to know, build a relationship with during pregnancy. Sometimes I would support with antenatal education. Sometimes I would just be there to have the chats. And then that relationship continues into the birthing room when the baby's been born, and then after, for whatever length of time feels appropriate for the parents. So it was such an amazing work to do. So it was such a privileged position to be in. But working as a doula, I would be, you know, with my client, but I would see other women in really difficult situations. And I remember in particular, I saw a traveler woman being treated just abominably in a maternity hospital. And I felt very powerless because I was there to support somebody else, but I couldn't ignore it either. And I had this idea to train a doula specifically for the traveler community. So I developed this idea and I went to an organization called Exchange House Ireland. Completely, I had no clue. I was just very driven, but I had no idea about the intricacies of what might be behind this. Anyway, I gave a presentation on my idea to Exchange House Ireland, to the family support team there. And they loved the idea, but there was a feeling that like it was kind of difficult because I wasn't in the system. So I said, right, I'll go to college and I'll get in the system. And that's exactly what I did. So 3 years later, I have my degree in social care. So that is a very long-winded explanation of how I got there.
It's very interesting to hear how different people got into social care. First of all, they have their own story, they have their own why, and you have a very strong why there.
Yeah, yeah.
But also people, a lot of people have come into it in a roundabout way, like you have, Baggy, and a lot of people that we talk about. And what is it now that you love about what you do?
Do you know what, having worked for myself for a long time, I love the structure of social care. And I know that's kind of unusual. I know people sometimes don't love that. But for me, I worked in an area that was completely unregulated. And that really, how you performed as a professional came down to your own values and ethics. And not all of us have the same values and ethics. And I really struggled with that in my practice when I worked for myself. So that is one of the things I really like about social care is the structure around it and the ethics around it. And also, I'm not very good at working for myself. I'm great at working for myself, but I'm rubbish at getting paid.
And then what about having other people around to support you? Does that come into it or?
It does. I suppose because I worked on my own for so long, I'm probably not great at that. That's something, you know, that I need to be aware of as a professional, because I'm very independent, I'm very motivated, and I'm very capable of doing things by myself, I think.
Well, I think
sometimes I forget that I have all
this. I think that's very common, because I often describe myself as an olden times social care worker, because like Audrey was saying, people come in from different routes. So you would have someone who like be a panel beater, would do some help in a youth club, and then they would move into social care, or someone who's a dressmaker and come in like that. And I wouldn't say it's as common now, because everybody is looking for the degree if you're going to do social care, and say where you've come from would be similar to the oldie days thing, you know. And I think, as Audrey was saying, all the experience that people bring from their other lives coming in is very fresh. I think going back to the way you say you like to work on your own and that, and sometimes like I am very like that, and I think that sometimes people hone me in a bit when I need to be focused, you know, that I'm not able to do, someone's able to do it for me.
Yeah, and as much as I love to work on my own, I'm also, I love bouncing ideas off people. I love saying, here's the thing, like, what do you think of this idea? Could this work? And could, so I absolutely love that part of it. I've, as a social care worker, I've lone worked, and I've worked in teams, and I love both. You know, I have to say I really enjoy both.
Well, I imagine that the skills that you've learned being a sole trader or working for yourself over those 10 years have really stood to you now going into the social care world, you know. And I mean, that comes with maturity as well, but I really think, like, I'm a sole trader myself, and I know that the social care skills that I've learned over the years have really helped me, you know, get on with my work when I don't have somebody looking over my shoulders. I don't have a supervisor. Yeah.
I think that develops your work personality. You know, like if when you work, like I had my own restaurant, but you develop your work personality to get you through tough times and difficult times. But I think it also makes you very good at reading people.
Yeah.
You know, assessing situations that you're in. So
Yeah, and also I, in a former life, I was a journalist, and I worked in public relations. And often, like in job interviews I've had for social care, you know, people have gone, what? That's such a strange turn of events. And how did you ever end up? But they're actually so closely related, because what is our bread and butter? It's communication. It's communication skills.
And relationships.
Yeah. And I have to say, that's something I have taken completely for granted up until pretty recently, when I realized that not everybody has those skills. And one thing I'm particularly driven about at the moment is advocating for people who don't have the same literacy levels as perhaps other people. Mm. And it's become really apparent to me that everything we do is written. Everything is forms. There's so many forms to fill out. And I've worked on ways of changing that. So I've done audio forms, and audio explainers for people filling out forms, just to make these things a little bit more open and make sure that we're catering for everybody.
Well, I work with visually impaired, so I'm along that. So it's different colors, different font sizes, audio, braille, and textile books and stuff like that. So yeah, I totally grab it. Can't take anything for granted.
Yeah. Well, Emily, we could probably go on talking to you for another hour. Thank you so much for coming to talk to us. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the Social Care Ireland conference.
Brilliant. Thank you very
much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Okay, Baggy and I are now joined with three students from TU Dublin in Grange Gorman on the social care programme there, who are currently on placement but also work in social care. We have Alexandra, Sadie and Lauren. Ladies, what have you enjoyed about social care conference so far?
For me, it was seeing how passionate some of the social care workers actually are still. I've been in three different services now for work, in three for placement, and some, I'd say, haven't had that passion. And it's a huge difference seeing those that do.
Wow, brilliant. Mm. Thank you for that.
As well as that, you can also see, like, you always hear these names like Adrian McKenna and stuff. It was great to see everyone in person as well, especially over the last few years on with COVID and stuff. We've seen everyone through screens. We even got to see lectures that taught us in first year that was online, and we saw them through a screen, and today we got to see them in person. So not only the social care aspect, it was also our student perspective as well.
If you were able to add something to this from a student's point of view, what would you recommend for Social Care Ireland to put in for next year?
I suppose maybe more students, more of a student presence. So obviously there's the mentorship program, and then maybe, you know, just a bigger student presence. Obviously we've got all the stalls of all the different services, and that was another really good thing today, to be able to walk around and get an insight into all the different sectors and services, and be able to speak to people who are on the floor and are able to give you like real life experience. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe for first and second years who are not sure like which sector they want to go into before they've had like a long placement, like a duration, that maybe to be able to come down and speak to all these people in all the different sectors and figure out maybe what might be for them, and kind of that's kind of their way in, their pathway then, because I suppose most of the time when you're a social care student, your pathway is through placement. So if you're wanting to work maybe before you've gone on your placement, or you're looking for something over the summer or something, it might be like a good way to kind of find your pathway in.
We've discussed at other podcasts as well that sometimes really good people are not in the right job. They're really good at what they do, but finding the niche that you want to work in within social care. And what Audrey and I are trying to do is show how broad it is. But like you say, if you come down and meet people who are in some, like we've even met a lot of people that organizations we didn't know.
Yeah, these few days. Brilliant. So I want to know, what did you learn today that you didn't know before about social care?
For me, I suppose I knew that a lot of social care workers had lived experience, but you know, like seeing that, especially today, one of the speakers this morning, his name is Brian, to, you know, see how his lived experience kind of inspired him. And I suppose it's funny the way like we work in these sectors. I'm on placement in an addiction service, a homeless addiction service. So being there, but then seeing how people who may be in that service can also then kind of come full circle, kind of.
Sometimes when you're in an organization and when people are working, they work a particular way and speak a particular way. But do you find like here, that people are speaking in the same way, like with care and consideration for the jobs that they do?
Absolutely, yeah. I was going to say, the presentation from WALK this afternoon, there was a staff and a service user speaking. That was really great to get their perspective and see how things were run. Myself and Alexander would have come from the same day service we worked in. And it was great seeing just a different point of view of how it's run and things that can be done differently. I know we both kind of talked after about some of our clients and how we could change up their daily routine and that.
But that's the thing, again, as myself and Audrey, you're pushing for a lot of networking for between organisations, and everybody gains from the networking. It's not just that you want something or somebody wants something for you, that you're able to share knowledge and skills. And it's good to have people like yourselves around that are only starting out. And
yeah, it's lovely to see fresh people coming in and they're, you know, excited about social care, and they've, you know, they're really enjoying it.
Yeah, but to take old ideas and make them new again, you know, look for new ways, like new technology, new language, new sports, new skills. You know, there's a lot that we don't do that people like yourselves coming in. It's great having fresh blood.
Yeah. What about yourself, Sadie? What did you learn today that you didn't know before?
I liked how, like, obviously, as Lauren said, like, the walk presentation, you could see from service users' perspective how all the work we do on a daily basis does go a long way. And you can see that there, because sometimes you come home and you're like, oh, didn't do a lot today or whatever. And you feel like sometimes you don't get a lot done with a person or something, but it shows that every little bit, even if it's a little thing, it takes so much for that person, like, to do these things. And you can see with that man today, was it Ross? Yeah, Ross, like, you can see he's done so much in so little time with the help of social care workers.
Absolutely. We need to celebrate our small wins, don't we? Yeah. So, ladies, thank you so much for joining us on the Social Care Podcast. We really appreciate hearing your voices. And take care and enjoy the rest of the conference.
And hopefully we'll see you next year.
Thank you.
This podcast is sponsored by Trust Social Care Consultancy. If you want to get in touch with Audrey, please go to www.trustconsultancy.ie. Now back to the podcast.
So next we have Noel Howard. He's been around the social care sector for a long, long time. So Noel, even though you're retired, what brings you back to the Social Care Ireland Conference every year?
Well, I suppose, Audrey, it's because I made a number of friendships, acquaintances, hopefully no enemies, over my working life. And I find that quite a few of them turn up to the Social Care Ireland Conference. And it's good to meet up with them in a different atmosphere, where there's people are generally relaxed on that, and it's good to have a chat. And that's mainly it. And I'm still involved with the Workers Advisory Group, which is a constituent part of Social Care Ireland, with the educators and the managers. So we're doing a bit. We have our meetings every 2 months and that kind of thing. So I'm still involved in that sense. And I edit the Social Care Ireland magazine, Coorum, and the newsletter, The Link. Now, I'd be severing my ties with that, hopefully, by the end of the year, because I've done it for about 30 years anyway. And I just think it needs an injection of new blood and somebody with a different approach, perhaps, and so on. If nobody becomes available, I'd happily continue it. But it's at a stage where it's very difficult to get homegrown material. Like, if I look back at the editions of 25 years ago, there were people writing in, you know, giving out about this, that, and the other. The issues are the very same, I think. I was at the workers group there when they did their research presentation this morning. I think the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
Same things. And perhaps that's the way it always will be.
Yeah.
But to go back to your original, but yeah, it's good to come back and meet people, and you don't have to have a big introduction and tell them what you did. They know they're on the same level.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah. And something you said to me before was that you find it difficult to get people to write, and you'd love to see more writers in social care writing into the Coorum magazine, because you publish stuff that people send you, don't you?
Yeah. Now, provided all of the things are equal and that it's not libelous and so on. But I invariably, like, for example, there'll be one coming out in June. Invariably, I find myself dipping into material from other countries, from the UK, from Canada. And I occasionally would maybe take a newspaper article. And so on. And so it has become more of a digest than an actual living kind of medium,
And how can we encourage people to get more involved?
Well, you see, Audrey, I think part of the problem is that people are now, despite all the advantages of the internet and computers and what have you, I think people have less time because there are other pressures coming to bear on them. And I just think it's time. And I think as well, I suppose COVID would be a good example. It was a different world and while people had more time, but then there were other issues perhaps for people. So it's just, I think that social care workers, they're more workers perhaps than writers. But obviously I think, and this is a good example of the podcast idea, it gives an opportunity for people in the field to let other people know what they do, what they don't do, what they'd like to do, and what they'd like to see change. So in that sense, maybe they talk better than perhaps they write. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, I met a woman last night and she said, oh, I'd love to write something. Well, I said, yeah, I got her phone number, I'd be on to her. So I think it's the preciousness of the work. I think the work is, to use the famous phrase, challenging. I think people go home, they're exhausted, and so on. And to sit down and really a bit of a busman's holiday for an hour or two to write something, it's not that appealing, I'd say, unless they really want to put something on paper and as it were, take out their emotions on what they have to say. But it's hard, yes, difficult.
I was delighted to have my piece published.
Oh, yeah, you did, of course, yeah.
Climbing with the Chance of Falling.
That's right, yeah.
And it's actually lovely to see something in print, you know.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people spend so much time writing now. For logbooks and official stuff, and that they don't want to be writing more. Yeah, but I think they should be encouraged, because like this morning, one of the speakers was talking about emotions coming into social care being highlighted more. I think it's a good opportunity.
Yeah,
and as Audrey knows, she's a big fan of journaling, and I think a lot of people who do it. So I think it would be a positive way for people to share how they feel, rather than just keep all the stuff to themselves. There might be something that they would like to share.
So Noel, my final question for you today then is, what would your key takeaway be from this year's conference?
In this year's conference, the key takeaway would be, and I've had this feeling before, that in a way, while everything has changed, in many ways nothing has changed. The job for social care workers is the same, I think, as this morning's speaker, in terms of the whole emotional aspect being brought to bear on the work that people do. I think is one that people might be a bit afraid of, but I think it's a great opening to move on to another level, as it were. And that would be the main thing. And I suppose we say somebody yesterday like Ross, It's refreshing and fantastic to see somebody.
It's great to hear.
It is. It is. And like Brian yesterday morning and so on, you absorb an awful lot. You may not be able to repeat exactly what people said, but I think you get a feeling of not empowerment, but you feel that it's been worthwhile. It has not been, you know, I'm sure there are conferences that people have to go to and they fall asleep for most of it. But this is invigorating and it's a different kind of thing, and it should be.
Yeah.
And the social aspect of it is great. And if the bit of luxury and so on is wonderful too for people to, you know, it is.
So, Noel, thank you so much for joining us on the Social Care Podcast.
Pleasure.
Thanks very much.
Great. Okay.
Best of luck. So now we have David Durney with us. David is the conference committee chairperson. David, you're very welcome.
Thank you for having me.
This has been, I think, a very successful conference. There's good spirits about. There's a lot of people mingling, networking, getting to know each other, interacting with the exhibitors. There's a great atmosphere here. So tell me about how you're feeling about the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very proud to be part of Social Care Ireland. I mean, I've been involved now for about 14 years. My background is I'm not a social care practitioner as from my professional background, but obviously I run my own businesses. So and I have a lot of social care workers that work for me. So I've always had a certain amount of value. You know, I think what social care workers do on a day-to-day basis is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The way they look after the most vulnerable people in society. For us, I think as a board and as a conference committee, see the number of people that are here, and in particular new people. We'll always have our old heads, you know, that come every year.
Amazing amount of students here this year.
Fabulous.
Isn't
there? And you know, we've got brilliant support from TUSTA this year as well. They've sent 100 delegates, which is fantastic. Yeah. And they're also our main sponsors, which I think is worth noting. But it's great to come and see a lot of people that I've never seen before.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, and that to me, that's the most refreshing part about it. And as you touched on yourself, the energy is fantastic. You know, there's a lot of networking going on, and it's, you know, we sit back and kind of smile, and it's worth our while. It's worth the years' work that we put into it.
So you've been on the committee for 14 years, is that right?
Well, I would have initially been part of the managers group. Then when Social Ireland combined, where we had the managers, the educators, the workers come together and became Social Ireland, because we were three separate entities for a while, I would have been asked to sit on the board, and then subsequently I was asked to be the chair of Social Ireland. So I was chair of Social Ireland for 6 years, and then Leon took over in November.
Okay, that's so Leon Ledwich.
Leon Ledwich, he's the chair now. I was nominated to take over from Noel Howard to chair the conference, which was big shoes to fill. And I think I'm stuck chairing the conference until somebody else decides to take it off.
So what keeps you coming back?
For me, I mean, when I went to school in the States, and, you know, from a very young age, I suppose we were encouraged to, you know, learn and go to conferences and do CPD and stuff like that. And one of the things I think when I came home and started working in Ireland was, to me, that I was concerned that social care workers didn't have a lot of value in the profession. And it was kind of like they went to school, they got their qualification, that was it. There wasn't a huge take up of going to conferences and learning. And I suppose when, and I know that the registration of social care workers has been talked about a lot longer than I've been home. But I suppose when I came home and I kind of got used to the system here, which took some time and stuff like that, and then the whole idea about registration came up. I think for me, you know, social care workers being registered as a profession, a protected title, which is what it should be, you know, what keeps me coming back is that I really hope dearly that social care workers value their profession, because what they do on a day-to-day basis is incredible. And that's what keeps me coming back.
Absolutely. And that's what we're all about as well. Myself and Baggy here, we're always talking about the value of social care workers, that people need to step into their power because it is a profession. Mm. We go to college the same as nurses and social workers. We do our placements the same as them. That the work is hard. Let's, you know, not beat about the bush. But we need to continue our professional development. And this conference sends a really good opportunity for people to continue their learning.
Well, what does every day of school day?
Yeah. But when I moved into social care, a lot of my friends at the time would have labelled me like a childminder or a babysitter, because that's what they perceived the job to be. It's a very hidden career, camouflaged with a lot of other jobs around where they're doing such valuable work. But even like if you take the comparison between social care workers and social workers, people get very mixed up what it is.
Yeah.
And I think the job that we have, and which the conference does really well, and especially having all the students here now, is to show that there's a vast difference between what social workers do and what we do as social care workers. Mm-hmm. They're very different jobs. They have crossover, mm-hmm. but they're very different. And as you say, having our own identity as a proper job title that everyone knows.
Yeah, and I think that people, like, you know, if say that the lay community, for better use of the word, you know, if you talked about social work, also they think that's a very professional career, blah, blah, blah. You say social care work, and exactly as you said, Baggy, I still think there's a lot of people that think that social care is like glorified babysitting.
Yeah.
And I would hope, and I'm sure the profession would hope, that with the introduction, with the opening of the registration board, that it becomes a profession and people identify it as a professional job, which is what it is.
Absolutely. And I go, because I have my own business, I go to a lot of businessy things, you know, networking and that sort of thing. And I find that I'm always, the very first thing I have to tell people is the difference between social care and social work, because they don't understand. Whereas at an event like this, I don't have to have that conversation with anybody. And it's refreshing, I have to say. But David, thank you so much for coming to talk to us. It's been a pleasure. And it's been a pleasure to attend this year, I have to say. We as the podcasters have been really looked after. You can see the room we're in is amazing.
Yeah. I love the idea, as I say, that we're recording how people feel about it.
At the time.
Yeah. And when it goes out, then people say, oh, maybe next year I'll give it a go. You know, people who were not sure whether it's for them or not. Hopefully it'll give an insight into what conference is all
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're delighted to have you.
Great.
So thank you so much, David.
No problem.
We really hope you've enjoyed this episode. Please join us for the next episode as we chat with the exhibitors from the Social Care Ireland Conference. Take care.